Management. Let's welcome them.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here today with us. My name is Pierre-Yves Chibon. I usually go by Pingu, and this is Eric Curtin. And so, as announced, we are going to talk to you a little bit about bootable containers and image mode. So, what are bootable containers? Well, we know what containers are. They have been around here for decades, and they have been the de facto standard today about how we want to deploy Linux user space application. And they have been there for a long time, which means we have built. I need to speak louder? All right. And in the microphone? That's going to be a challenge. No, the microphone doesn't repeat in the room. It's just for the recording. So I'm going to try to speak to Zbigniew over there. If you can hear me, don't say anything. So containers have been there for a long time, which means we've built the whole ecosystem around them. We have built tooling. We've been infrastructure. We've been platforms to build, to leverage all of the capacity that it does. You know, we've known this as the container native or the cloud native toolings and practices. The idea of bootable containers is to go one step further than that. And we don't want to include just the applications and its libraries, but what if we included the kernel with it and the bootloader and everything? So we basically no longer have an application image, we have an OS image. And that's why we also call that image mode. And we can reuse all of the existing toolings and infrastructure to inspect, but to build, to distribute, to deploy, to store, to inspect all of these containers, because at the core of that technology, we remain in the OCI container standards. And the question becomes, hey, why do we do that? Well, we're interesting to do that because suddenly we are managing our operating system in the same way that we are managing any of our applications. We allowed our sysadmins, our users in general, to have a single workflow to build anything. Be that an operating system, be that an application, be that, as long as it's a container, it's going to be using the same approach. We can have then, you know, all of the tooling that has been built around container security, being able to do audit container images, being able to check out for CVs, non-CVs in the container images. Well, we can do that now at the OS scale. We can do that at it one step further. We can look at it from the immutable OS perspective. You know, container image are immutable. You can write on them, but then you stop your container, you restart, and you start from a clean slate, which means you have increased security, which means your maintenance is going to be a lot easier because that one container image that you're deploying is going to be the same container image regardless of where you deploy it. So that one operating system image that you've built is going to be the exact same one that you deploy everywhere. And we're using something called ComposeFS to increase the security of these images to ensure tamper-proofing. So ComposeFS is a layer that basically allows us to leverage FS Verity at the kernel level to ensure that the image that you're booting is the same one that you've built and it hasn't changed since you've built it. And we can do that with all of the ecosystem that we've spoke about before. We can do CI/CD, we can build things, we can audit them. So, to come back about immutability, it's something that's scary because, well, I want to play with my image, I want to change it. Well, immutability is not about preventing changes. It's about controlling that change, being sure we're secure from the get-go, we're secure by design. It's about being intentional about a change, not having a change happen by accident or having a change that happens as a consequences of something else. So that's a quote from Matt Moore, the CTO of ChainGuard. I basically give you the essence of it. I'm not going to read it entirely. So bootable container. We've mentioned it. We know what container images are. You know, you have a base image, and then you layer your libraries and application on top of this. Well, a bootable image is exact same thing. It leverages the same technology. It's still an OCI-compliant container, except it includes a kernel with it. It includes a bootloader with it. But all of the toolings around, all of the infrastructure around exists, which means we can build these workflows. And this is nothing new. You've seen this for a decade now. You know, you have a container file, you build it, you push it to a registry. Nothing new here. Damn, what are we here for? Well, the beauty here is that now, with the bootable image containers, you can convert that container image into an actual disk image. You can run that disk image into an edge device. You can run it onto a cloud, you know, public or private cloud. You can run it on a VM on your laptop. You can run it on your laptop itself. But the magic happens when you want to update it, because then you use the same workflow. You still have your container image, and you're going to rebuild to get a new update. And then you're going to push that update to a container registry, just like you would do for any application. But then your entire OS here is going to be updated via that container image. So it's nothing new, except it's one step further. We're taking the idea of containerized and using this deployment mechanism, this approach, to the next level to include the entire operating system image and not just the application image. And all of this happens through the magic of Bootsy, which I'm going to let Eric talk to you about.
Thank you, Pingo. I'll just set up my mic. You know what? I'm going to hold. No.
So again, we need to plug the Pingo over there.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so what is Bootsy? Bootsy is the tool that basically manages all this. It's the core tool. It's in the GitHub containers namespace. It builds upon over a decade of existing technologies from projects such as OS3 and RPM OS3, but it abstracts you away from a lot of the complexity. Because most users and sysadmins of Bootsy don't have to worry about the lower level details. So it abstracts upon all that and adds all these container-like features that Pierre just described. It allows you to deploy Bootsy systems. You can update systems with it. I should say there's actually a family of Bootsy tools. So Bootsy is the main one, but there's also like sister tools. You can do rollbacks. You can even do automated rollbacks. So let's say if your system fails to boot 5 times, we have a tool that will check the boot counter and say, okay, you failed 5 times. Let's reboot and roll back into the last version of the operating system, which was a known good version and was healthy, at least in the past. There's a stable API, and it integrates with Podman and all those family of container tools. How does it work? Yeah, what is immutable? So what is an immutable OS? So obviously we have to be writable at some point. So the whole idea is it's writable at build time. So there's a base container. There's a base bootable container image that you can inherit from, and you can do your DNF installs, copy stuff. You can run whatever you want. And how does this work? So there's kind of three different types of file systems in a Bootsy image. So there's in var, this is a persistent but mutable file system because not every device is unique, so you need something to manage the local state. So that would start the same on almost every device and then manage the local state of that device. In ETC, what we do is on upgrade it will change, but it'll also take into account the local configuration changes you have made. So it'll do a three-way merge with the update from the container image, and basically all the other persistent files in the system are read-only and backed by FSVerity to check that their intentional changes, like Pierre Yves explained. ETC is actually an interesting one because there's some versions of these Bootsy operating systems where we make that completely read-only, so that's kind of configurable if you don't want the user to be able to make any local configuration changes whatsoever. Although it's mutable at runtime because there are certain files that change at runtime, like I think etc resolve. There are a small handful that need to be mutable at runtime. So here are some base images we have for Bootsy. We have Fedora-based ones, CentOS Stream-based ones, Red Hat Enterprise Linux-based ones. And actually, this is just a small subset because there's a Universal Blue family of operating systems from the community, but a lot of this is repetition, but you have your base images in container file, easy integration, CI/CD shipped as OCI images. As I said, this is a suite of tools, this boot these Bootsy tools. This is another Bootsy tool. This is the one you use basically to build a base image, and you can also use it to convert into the various formats, like the three virtualization formats specified here, and a Anaconda installer, or a raw file that you just write directly to your disk. Okay, so yeah, this is a simple flow how it all works. Your sysadmin creates the container file with his bootable image he wants to deploy somewhere. He pushes it to his OCI container registry, which is whatever registry he may have in his infrastructure. And yeah, then that image gets pulled to the various devices that are looking for system updates. 10 minutes left, cool, thanks. yeah, and we have an update service, and we also have a rollback service, say if a certain health check failed and you realize, geez, that's a bad version, I better roll back. So yeah, that's related to the rollback, the health checks. Yeah, so operating systems are obviously growing in complexity all the time, and more important than ever is to manage your dependencies in your container. So I don't know if you've used people in the room have used tools like Renovate or Dependabot, but they're basically these bots that will automatically check for updates and then open a PR in your GitHub or GitLab repo. And that's actually quite useful, because then the PR is opened by the bot, and then you can go through your CI and run all your tests. And why this is useful with Bootsy is, say the bot has made the change to the container file, then your CI/CD, you can start that container file as a container, just with Podman, run your tests as you want. Or if you want a more complete operating system to test in your CI infrastructure, you can boot a full VM and run your test suite, and then mark your PR as green or red, and someone can review it and merge or whatever. So this is one of the most powerful things about Bootsy. A bot can open a pull request, use tags, yeah, I think I explained all that. container registries. So this is basically saying when you, once you merge your PR, if your automation is, if you set up your automation right, you can just push directly to the registry then, and all the various nodes can pull it. If you're familiar with Podman Scopio, it's all the same tooling. As Pierre said, it's like that we've had for like a decade now, so it's all very mature technologies. You can use Red Hat Quay as an OCI registry, or maybe you have an in-house OCI registry, which is perfectly fine to use also. So this is just describing, obviously when it's stored in the OCI, container registry, when you pull it down, it's actually not a bootable container at that point. It's just a normal Podman container, which is actually kind of cool because you can do your Podman run and play around with it. But obviously there's a conversion step that will convert it to an actual on-disk format for public cloud, edge devices, bare metal servers, that kind of thing. Quadlet is a tool that's been around for a couple of years now. It's basically if you want to start a container as a systemd service. That's the long and the short of it. And the cool thing about Bootsy images, actually, you can boot full operating systems with them. But what this slide is actually showing, you can also run them as containers. So actually the same copy of an operating system can be the OS and an application container. Also, which is quite useful, you know, they're very mutable, and you can use the same version of an operating system for multiple cases. Logically bound images. I'm going to skip this slide because I'm running out of time. So join the community, get involved, try it out, give us feedback, open PRs. Any questions? I apologize if I went through some things fast and just wear your time, but yeah.
Now you're good. You can. You just screen it. Two questions. One is, what's the file format? How do you store it on disk? Is that like backend defined, or is there always the same type of file format that you eventually have the container unpacked on the disk image?
Please repeat the question for the microphone. What is the file format on the disk?
The question was, yeah, it's tricky. It was basically, what is the file format on disk? Yeah, it's we flew by it in the slides, but it's basically powered by something called ComposeFS, which is an ROFS file system. It's kind of like a content address store. It's a Merkle tree, as Pierre Yves stated.
Basically, an OCI image is a Merkle tree based. So if you have two container image that are using the same file, they are going to address that file using the SHA of the file and so on. So it's a Merkle tree, just like your Git repo. And that means if you have two files in the same image, they'll be only present once in the disk. And the underlying technology for image mode is RPMOS3, which also happens to be based on Merkle tree. So the idea is that we are leveraging the fact that the OCI containers image is based on Merkle tree to be able to deploy in RPMOS3 Merkle tree based, which is then mounted as a regular operating system when you boot.
Second question, entry point. How do you handle entry points?
That's a good question. I will say on the last question, Alexander Larson has done talks on ComposeFS. You should watch that, because it's hard to answer that well in 10, 20 seconds. But the question was, how do we handle entry points? In the context of a bootable container image, entry points don't really make as much sense, because when you boot a real operating system, you're starting from systemd and all its various services. It's not just one service you're starting. So you could add an entry point, and when you start a bootable image as a container, it would work. But in the context of a full operating system, I don't think there's much value in entry points, because you start with the kernel and systemd, and systemd starts like a thousand things. So it's
the target image basically ignores entry points, or other things only start systemd if it uses.
Yeah. Unless you start it via podman run, then it just starts as a normal container, so it would take the entry point into account.
Is your vision of /etc/var/run the same as systemd's one? Because they too are trying to standardize the way exactly as /etc/var/run are used.
There are differences. Yeah. The short answer is there. Oh, sorry. The question was, the way we treat etc var and user the same as the way systemd defines it for their immutability approaches? There are some similarities, some differences. That's it. Yeah, they're not the same. No. Who wants to go? I have to go to you. Go on.
I saw that you had a base image from Fedora Bootsy. Is that where the kernel is coming from, or is Bootsy that decides where the kernel and systemd and all the other stuff that need to run? How is packaged? It's not in the Docker image, right?
The kernel is already. Oh, so the question was, where is the kernel in the bootable container? Does it come from that base image you inherit from, the from line, or is it someplace else? Where is it? And the answer is, yeah, the kernel is already pre-baked into the base image. Actually, an upcoming feature I'm aware of, because I'm excited about it, it doesn't exist, is you can actually switch out the kernel from your base operating system if you want. That doesn't exist yet, so I shouldn't talk about it, but I know it's coming. Yeah. He has his hand up a long time.
Change it during the update, and if you do rollback, what happens with slash
So the question is, we spoke about slash user being read-only, slash var managing local state, and slash etc kind of managing configurations. And the question was, what happens to var and etc when you roll back? When you roll back, no changes happen in var, actually, as far as I'm aware. ETC, I don't think there are any changes there either, but actually, there is an option to make ETC read-only, and if you're worried about the rollback going perfectly, I would highly recommend turning that option on to make ETC read-only, because then ETC rolls back just like user would, like byte for byte.
We still have the previous one. We still have the previous image. So in case of a rollback, we can still mount the etc from the previous one, from the previous state. But the question about var is also, it's going to be the exact same challenge that you would have today on a containerized application that upon upgrade changes the database schema. You're going to have the same challenge, and you're going to, if you want to be able to do a rollback, you will need to have, as part of your rollback mechanism, a way to downgrade the database schema, just like you would have today on an application that just updates the database schema upon update. So some challenges, different scale, but some challenge. Just.
Could you repeat? I didn't. I don't know, because it's first I've heard of it. the question was, what's the difference between this and LinuxKit? Just being honest, I don't know. I've that's the first I heard of LinuxKit. Unless you know. Yeah. Sorry.
Other questions?
The question is, what does it take to move a container image from an application to a Bootsy-based container image? And I would say it's one line, the from.
Yeah, so the question is more, you say that if you port to Fedora, Red Hat, Safari, etc., you build specific container images, base container images for this distribution. If I want to use my own distribution,
yeah. So the question is, I'm going to shorten the question because it was long. But the question was, these are basically pre-baked images that just work with Bootsy. But what if you like have a classical container image and you want to turn it into a Bootsy capable container image? You're basically looking for this tool, Bootsy Image Builder. So I would recommend you integrate your distribution with this tool, and this will basically, you'll end up with a container image in a Bootsy format, and then you can treat it as a normal container or a bootable container. So that's the magic tool you need to integrate with if you want to create something from scratch. Yeah. So the question was, I believe it's possible to boot the container the kernel in the container, and if so, how does it interact with the host kernel? And the answer to that is, it's very simple. If you're doing something like this where you want to run two kernels, You start the Bootsy image as a VM, just an everyday QEMU VM or whatever hypervisor you want to use. It's not something so bespoke. You just start it as a VM if you want two kernels running.
No, it's not that I want two kernels running. It's just I understand that you can start the kernel inside the container just to test it.
Yeah, so if you're just testing the container and you do bootsy run container image, there's only one kernel. It's just a normal container when you use it in that fashion.
Okay, so it does not boot the kernel in the container?
No. The kernel exists as files, but you don't touch it. It's only when you convert it to a VM format or Anaconda or RAW that when you boot it like a normal everyday system that you actually use the kernel from the bootable container. It's very flexible.
All right, that's all the time we have, so let's thank again our speakers.